you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago. Mike side with former Blackhawk forward and Stanley Cup champion Jamal Mayers. You will see him all season long on Blackhawks pre and post. Jammer, how you doing? We got the season about to start.
I can't believe it. Let's do this.
All right, let's do this. First things first, when the curtain goes up against Pittsburgh on Thursday night, is there going to be something that you're focusing on from the press box to see how it initially looks for this team?
Well, I think obviously you've got a lot of new faces. I believe almost 8 new faces that'll start in the game tomorrow night. And the biggest concern going in has to be the lack of experience, lack of familiarity on the back end, speaking specifically about the defense. So how quickly will they get acclimated to the style of play that the Blackhawks want to play, getting out of the zone quickly, tape-to-tape passes? This is a group of forwards who's been, you know, a little bit spoiled in that sense of exiting cleanly with the puck, and there are going to be times where they're going to have to chase a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
When you look at the new defensemen, you certainly have Connor Murphy, you got Cody Franzen, you got Jordan Oesterle, and you got Ruta. When you look at the 4 of those guys, you know, Murphy comes in probably, I think most people would say, you know, he's a between a 4 or 5, somewhere in there, but he's going to be playing, you know, top 4 minutes. Talking to him on Wednesday, yeah, he's been trying to get acclimated to the defensive style that Joel and the Hawks like to play. What you've seen from defensemen that come into this system, what's the biggest learning curve for a defenseman who's been in a different system playing with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and is now going to be out there? By the way, they had the pairings on Wednesday. Murphy's going to be out there with Kempney.
It's a lot different. You know, obviously I can't speak to a lot of the, you know, insular detail, but I can tell you this. Joel wants the defense to flush pucks up the boards. He doesn't want you necessarily get engaged in front of the net. You know, you're going to have to box out. Where a lot of teams want you to engage and get physical in front of the net, Joel's more concerned about stick positioning, flushing pucks up the boards, making good clean exits.
Tying up second chance opportunities.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that is going to be a little bit of a change. You know, forwards are going to be where you expect them to be. Pop passes to the middle are going to be expected, and you're going to have to execute. Every team flushes down the wall when they forecheck and underneath. The only way to exit is to use the middle of the ice. And, you know, Duncan Keith's probably the best at it. So I would advise watching those, you know, that pair of Siebes and Keith when you're on the bench and take notes.
You brought some advanced metrics, some advanced stats from last season to our season preview show the other night at NBC Sports Chicago. And it was kind of telling. And a lot of it was exiting the zone and the struggles that the Hawks had. Explained to some of the fans, you know, what those numbers said. And part of it was what you're saying, flushing it up the wall. But how can you improve exiting the zone?
Well, there were 2 main areas that were of concern that were glaring issues. One of which was 5-on-5. When teams dumped the puck in, the Hawks were in the bottom 2 teams in the entire National Hockey League at exiting the zone in those instances. Another one of concern was when they actually won the faceoff, they couldn't get out of their zone either. They were in the bottom 2 in that category as well. So your answer is twofolded. What situations is this happening in? And then the second is, how do they fix it? My suggestion would be to, you know, Joel and his staff are certainly aware of that issue, and it happens again, and it repeats itself when they're killing penalties. And we're talking about 1 faceoffs. We're talking about things that you can predict. right. wraps and pucks along the wall. To me, that's something you can go over and you can practice and have a system in place to exit the zone, and something that, to me, you can quantify and improve upon quite quickly.
Yeah, and you said, you know, struggles once they win the faceoff. Winning faceoffs has even been a struggle, and we've talked about that quite a bit. And that's going to be a storyline that I'm looking at from the forwards' perspective early on. Like you've been pointing out at practice, you know, who's going to take the draw on the right side in a high leverage situation?
Huge concern. And, you know, obviously Joel understands this. He knows. He doesn't have to look at metrics to understand and appreciate the fact that, quite honestly, Jonathan Toews is the only guy who can win faceoffs at a clip of over 50%. And beyond that, it's going to have to be a collective effort. I would anticipate Tommy Wingles taking, you know, eventually it might happen, have to happen organically, but I foresee him, you know, taking a leadership role and seeing that as his job, an opportunity for him to gain, you know, ice time and get in on the ice in those situations. He's a right-hand shot. I see Patrick Sharp taking those faceoffs in the offensive zone. Defensively, he's going to have to convince Joel that that might be the right decision.
Schmaltz is going to improve too. Like, I mean, like, this is his second full year. Last year he was moved around a bit, so I mean now his focus, and we've seen some improvements in the preseason, so you know, and then Anisimov, of course, is the other one. I mean, look, he's a veteran, he's been doing this a long time. The numbers, like we like to say, the numbers don't lie. I don't know how much we can expect him to improve.
Yeah, I would say that that's going to stay as a constant. But to me, I think you're right. I think that obviously Schmaltz will take more ownership and understand that their line specifically wants to have the puck. And to start with the puck is going to be of importance. And I think it's just, as you mentioned, I think the new rules will help a guy like Schmaltz. It allows for, doesn't allow for as much cheating.
Right.
And I think that will help him. The veteran savvy, veteran centerman, their edge is cheating, is getting that edge and figuring out a way to skirt the line to get themselves an advantage. And I think equaling that out for both parties will actually help an inexperienced player more than the veteran player.
And we take a look at the forward situation, the way Joel has it right now entering the Pittsburgh game is Hartman is on the Kane line with Schmaltz centering that line. And the third line is Sharp, Anisimov, and DeBrincat. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, DeBrincat spent most of the preseason on that Kane line, so we'd probably see him there. I think this is a great move by Joel. You know, I mean, A, his first NHL game, huge stage, defending champs, the defensive attention that the Penguins are going to put on Kane's line. I think it's probably a smart move to ease him into this league by putting him on that third line.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Joel was calculated in his approach in the preseason. I don't think DeBrincat would be here if he could only play with Kane. I think the fact that Joel changes his lines quite frequently, he's probably the best in the entire National Hockey League at recognizing within the first 10 minutes of a hockey game who's going, who's not going, and makes the appropriate changes. And I think you're right. It's twofolded. Protect DeBrincat a little bit defensively. You're matching up against the defending Stanley Cup champions, who have a pretty good two-line combo, obviously, up the middle. And so if they can have a weaker matchup, that'll help their offensive game. But I can assure you, Anisimov, Sharp, and DeBrincat aren't looking to check. They want to, you know, possess the puck and score goals and contribute offensively, and that plays into, you know, what Joel wants to do, which is play four lines.
We all know the numbers that the captains put up the last couple years, something that he's not happy with. Brandon Saad should change that. Is do you think there's a pressure on Toews entering this season now that he's got, quote unquote, his wingman, you know, Brandon Saad, a guy who he had a lot of success with, him being back, and familiarity with Panic, who, you know, John's played with now for two seasons?
There's no question. 25 goals, 65 points plus. I think that's the measuring stick. I think it's fair to expect that. I think he's put that pressure on himself and understands that, you know, they're not going to go anywhere as a team without him producing. And he wants to get back to that level. It's not too long ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we were comparing Crosby to Toews, And after 2013, I would have picked Taze. At that time, Taser had two cups to Crosby's one, and had outstaged Crosby, in my opinion, on the international scene. And if you remember, Crosby's the one who asked Taze if it's okay if he were to accept the captaincy for Team Canada.
I don't think he's going to be making that phone call. Well, they're not going to be playing in the Olympics, but if Team Canada was to assemble with NHL players one more time, I don't think that call will be coming from Sid.
But things turn around quickly. So, you know, Taser has an 80-point season, and he's right back in that conversation.
You know, I think a lot of folks raised an eye when they saw Sharp come back, thinking like, well, you know, it doesn't always work when the Hawks bring back a former player for the last go-around. Oduya was nicked up last year. I mean, Campbell, you know, had his ups and downs. But from what you've seen from Sharp, the fact that he finished second in the fitness test among forwards, and just looking at his speed, he might surprise. He might like break that trend of guys coming back and not playing at a level that you're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate the excitement. You know, I mean, you know, obviously health is probably the most important thing. One of the things that you mentioned right off the top was that his fitness level was, you know, in the top five of the entire fitness for, what, 65 guys, age 18 to his age.
35.
So I always found that funny. I was in the top five my last year.
Were you? Okay, that's right. That's right.
Just letting you know.
Duly noted. So, duly noted.
I could have played more, just Joel chose to play me 8 minutes a night. But no, quite honestly, it's not a factor. I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, you can't underestimate the excitement that he's feeling, the opportunity he feels. He's feeling confident, feeling good, can skate well, healthy. You know, I think he's going to be a huge part of that power play. And he recognizes that opportunity, and he wants to extend his career and a chance to win again. And I think 25 goals is realistic.
As this team gets ready, 2 1-and-dones in the playoffs. Look, this wasn't a bad team last year. Regular season-wise, they were tops in the West. So, you know, granted, they made a lot of changes, and I think a lot of that was obviously with what we saw in the postseason and the style of play that you see in the postseason. So, like, last one for you. You know, this team was motivated in 2015 because of the bitter defeat to the Kings in 2014 in the Western Conference Final. They talked about it, like, during the 2015 run. Do you think there is a little edge, a little bitterness to this team that they know what they've done is not acceptable and that it's time to get back to that championship level?
There's no question. It starts from the top. You look at what this organization said after and the moves that Stan made, some of them hurt, some of them stung. Think about it, John Morrison gone, you know, guys that had a huge part of winning Stanley Cups. They were not afraid to make changes, and Panarin gone. Although it will hurt the success of Patrick Kane, he will not get 95 points this year, he won't. But he'll get 75 to 85 points, but they're gonna have a chance to win a Stanley Cup because they're a better team in the playoffs with Saad and the moves that they made. And there's no complacency with this group. This group is not satisfied. They want to continue to build upon their legacy. That's the most impressive thing that I learned from being around them for 2 years. And I know they're not happy. I know they want to get back up there. And that's what they needed. They needed to be challenged. They've been challenged, and now it's their job to answer the bell and produce.
He's Jamal Mayers. You can see him all season long on NBC Sports Chicago's pre- and post-game and in-between period coverage of the Blackhawks. It'll start on Thursday night. We're going to have the red carpet for you at 5:30. Sports Talk Live with David Kaplan and his crew will be live from the United Center at 6. Then we're going to begin with our hour-long pre-game show. Stan Bowman will join us. We will get you ready as Jamal, Brian Campbell, and Adam Burrish will join me on set to get you ready for the Blackhawks and the Penguins. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. We appreciate it. We'll have at least 2 podcasts for you a week, all season long. So keep listening, and go Hawks. Catch you next time.